Don't forget to visit marketingcasts.com to find even more custom curated marketing podcasts just like this one. That's marketingcasts.com.
Hi, this is Sean Halter, host of the CMO Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and catch up on all the previous episodes at www.thecmosuite.com.
This episode of the CMO Suite is brought to you by Uconnex. Uconnex provides digital solutions and teams to brand CMOs, VPs, and marketers looking for true transparency in the biddable media space. From paid social and PPC to complex platforms like the Trade Desk, brands from across the world have connected to Uconnex. Visit them today at uconnex.com and No Kid Hungry. We're proud to promote No Kid Hungry and their many initiatives to help kids in need of meals. Visit them at nokidhungry.org.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. Winmo tracks every national advertiser, their agency relationships, and key executives within each organization. Get instant media spend, competitor tracking, and industry trend analysis in one easy-to-use application that integrates with all major CRM platforms. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.
Finally, the CMO Suite is presented by thecmocouncil.org as their official marketers podcast. The Chief Marketing Officer Council is the only global network of executives specifically dedicated to high-level knowledge exchange, thought leadership, and personal relationship building among senior corporate marketing leaders and brand decision makers. The CMO Council's 15,000-plus members control more than $550 billion in aggregated annual marketing expenditures and run complex distributed marketing and sales operations worldwide. For more information on membership, visit thecmocouncil.org. Let's start the show.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
This is your host, Sean Halter. We are in the middle of season 5. And as a reminder, the CMO Suite is presented in part by Uconnex. Uconnex provides biddable media solutions to brands and agencies across the country who are looking for help in the programmatic space. My guest today is Shahar Scott. Shahar is currently the Vice President Global Marketing at Bumble. I actually previously met her, maybe have previously semi-stalked her for purposes strictly of the podcast when she was at Snap. But Shahar, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean. It's an honor to be here.
We thought that everything might be opened up by now. So our first four or five guests, were all out in Los Angeles. I was actually out in Los Angeles a little while back. I got a chance to meet a handful of some of the guests that were on here, but I'm excited to be back in Florida and now doing the podcast from Florida with my guests from Los Angeles. So there you go. That's my soliloquy. Welcome.
Thank you so much. And I'm bummed that I missed you. I'm sure like all of your other guests, can't wait to finally be able to do this in person.
Let's talk about your journey just a bit. Where did you grow up?
I'm originally from Israel, moved to America when I was 5. I grew up on the East Coast in Amherst, Massachusetts, and made my way to New York, where I spent the majority of my professional career, and then relocated to LA 4.5 years ago.
Remember your time in Israel at all?
I do. I mean, I was very little when we moved, but I've gone back almost every year to visit family and even professionally for work. So it's just an amazing country. And yes, I do remember fondly, you know, key things here and there, but also just have like have gone back as much as I possibly can to reunite with my family. My mom was a teacher. They are both retired actually now, but my mom taught art and also woodshop. She was a carpenter. So super badass early on, got that feminist vibes from her. And she got her PhD as well and taught other teachers eventually how to teach as well. My dad is a trained psychologist and social worker, got his PhD as well in education and ended up being the superintendent of 20 different schools in Springfield, Massachusetts before he retired. So both in education.
Any brothers or sisters?
I do. I have an older brother and an older sister. My brother was in tech and is now also like an entrepreneur in Silicon Valley. My sister, also underachiever, has 5 graduate degrees from UMass and runs the residential life program there today.
Well, you only got a job at Apple. That's right. Fine. That's
right. Only one master's.
Still looking for your purpose in life, it sounds like, Shahar. That's incredible. You know, it is always, I think, one of the most interesting things I personally tend to enjoy about this podcast is I love hearing that kind of just backstory. I love hearing kind of where people are from. So many of the podcasts that I listen to sometimes, which are great, are right into this is where I'm at, this is what's great, this is what's amazing about that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's an amazing part of somebody's journey. But hearing where they came from and kind of hearing what their life was like, to me, sometimes that just gives you such a better understanding of not only shape, but being able to kind of see what trajectory is. You talked about your mom kind of being this, I don't want to say a feminist, but kind of being an empower of women so early on. And now that is, of course, with your time at Bumble, not to have automatically made that leap, but it is something that's very much at the forefront. But I'm sure for her, it wasn't at the forefront to some extent, you know, when she was doing that.
Yeah, I mean, she would show up for an interview at a, you know, for a job, and they thought that she was there to be the secretary. And she's like, no, I've got my PhD and I'm a teacher and I'm here to interview for the woodshop position. Yeah. And taught woodshop for 30 years.
Obviously, there's still a long way to go, which again, will extend straight into your Bumble trajectory. Before we get to Bumble and the fact that I don't, you know, what an amazing time to be there, obviously, with what's happening with them going public. Clearly the need for a female-based, at least initially, opportunity to be able to take more control of the whole dating process. That said, you lived on that coast. You went to school at Columbia. And is that, did you say you ended up with a master's degree there or your bachelor's degree?
Yep. I got my master's there. I got my bachelor's from UMass.
Master's in communication?
It was in marketing and communications. And I was actually working at Columbia at the time when I got it, which was also an amazing ride.
What brought you to marketing in the first place, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's so, I actually was just telling my daughter the stories. I actually grew up thinking I was going to be a lawyer, took the LSATs, got into law school, decided to defer for a year. And I got a job working for John Kerry when he was pre-presidential, working on his fourth senatorial campaign. And I actually fell into communications and marketing there. And I was working on his pro-choice platform there, working on women's issues in particular, and really just fell in love with positioning and messaging, and didn't realize that it was marketing at the time, because it was, you know, my political duty, my civic duty to work at the time for our state's senator. And I like fell into marketing there. And then from there, I decided no law school. I decided to pursue this path. And I started as a grassroots organizer at Planned Parenthood, and then moved to another nonprofit, and eventually made my way on the creative agency circuit and media side, all the way to tech, where I really found my home. And I've been working at the intersection of marketing and tech for the last 10 years.
What did your parents say when
you told them you were dropping out of law school?
I mean, I have amazing parents. They were very happy for me that I found my path, you know, and saved a lot of money and law school loans. I ended up getting other loans for my master's, but yeah, I mean, I think my parents just wanted me to be happy and find my purpose, and I really have. So
you navigated to tech at a point when tech was really kind of at this precipice of needing marketers who understood technology and the trajectory between the two. You end up at Apple at some point. How was that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel so fortunate to actually be in this industry now. You know, I was a marketer when there was no social media, when there was no app store, and when video didn't really even exist. And so I've seen these major transformations happen. And that's what I love about what I do, and why I think marketing today in tech is the most incredible opportunity, because it is literally changing every day. With the emergence of more of these platforms.
You sound like this salty veteran at the back of a cubicle, like smoking a cigar. I remember tech when we were still working on motherboards.
It's true,
which is amazing.
Then it was called innovation, right? It wasn't called digital. It wasn't called social. Everything was just under the innovation and exploratory bucket. But yeah, it was an amazing time to grow up in marketing.
What did you take away from your time there?
Yeah, I mean, Apple was one of my favorite jobs. Obviously, it was an incredible time. I was there from 2011 to 14. So I got to be there when Steve was still alive, and then a year and a half after he had passed and Tim Cook took over. And I think, you know, what I learned at Apple, I would probably say two things. One is product marketing. Like, they are just the best at product marketing. And the way that they think about product marketing as a core foundation, and how they educate people on how their products can come to life and really serve a purpose for them. And that has stayed with me long after my time there. And I'd say the other part of it is, you know, Apple is very siloed because of the way that they're structured and confidentiality and all that. And yet you work with, like, there's deep collaboration. And at the time when I was at Apple, I was commuting from New York to Cupertino almost every week while being pregnant, while also having two kids. And I learned the value of collaboration, of cross-functional collaboration there, because it is such an important part of how they succeed at going to market, is having the right people in the room at the table. And it was an incredible time to be there. I feel very fortunate to have had that experience.
Do you have three kids now?
I have two. I have twins, and they're nine. It's the best.
Once they turn 15, good luck. I'll just say that. But no, it's fun. It is a lot of fun. So I want to make sure we spend a ton of time on Bumble and a little bit of time on Snap. I do want to add just one kind of final note to Apple, which is, speaking of kids, you know, my kids, I don't know what the brands will be that make the impact on their life. I don't think I know yet what that is, but there are only a handful of brands at my old age now of 51. There's only a handful of brands that have really kind of impacted my trajectory, and Apple absolutely is one of those. And you just have to wonder if Tim or even Steve at the time knew how much just subtle moves that they make impact hundreds, thousands of people and their lives. You know, interesting.
Yeah, and I do think that they knew it, and they still do, and they're still, I think, changing the way that we use technology, and it's become obviously just a core part of how we live our lives. But I remember back to when Steve launched the iPod, you know, and pulled that magical tiny little device out of his pocket, and all of a sudden you could, you know, have 1,000 songs in your pocket, right? But that actually transformed the music industry. It transformed how we hear podcasts, right? I mean, everything. And that little movement did have monumental impact on the tech industry, on the music industry, on content, how it's made, how it's distributed. And yeah, I mean, I do think that, you know, they have a very unique ability to predict the impact of their technology and how it can ripple. And they still do that today, I think.
I'm such a tech guy. I just love tech. And when my dad was still alive, you know, that was a bond that we were able to share as a share of him knowing how passionate I was about tech. And so I was in radio sales for a little while. I picked up AT&T as a client. I think they were Bell South at the time. And so every time they would get a new phone, PJ Parr was the guy there that got to see the new phones. And he'd pick up the phone and he'd say, "You got to come over here. You got to come over here. You're not going to believe what this phone does." And I remember driving over there. They were like 20 minutes away. He's like, "This phone can play songs. You can play music on this phone." And I was like, it was like 2 years before the iPhone. It was some, who knows what handset it was, but you had to put like a chip in there and you could play like four songs. But, you know, I had the Nomad jukebox. I had all of that. I just always loved tech. And so Apple, just what an amazing, amazing opportunity. And so that said, then you work a couple of different places. You end up out in Los Angeles and you end up at Snap. I actually think I might have met you during your time at Snap. You might have spoken maybe at a Brand Week event. Have you previously spoken at one of their events in the past?
I have. Would that be correct? Yeah.
So Danny probably didn't know it at the time, but I had gotten an invite from somebody else there at Adweek. And I think it was for one of the Brand Weeks, and they put on obviously amazing events. And this particular event, I think, was the first Brand Week that they had kind of brought back. So they didn't allow really like outside people. It was either you were a CMO or you were an invitee or you were a sponsor. And I managed to kind of make it in, and I knew I was going to launch this podcast. So every time a speaker would come off the stage, I would chase after them and give them my card and be like, "Hey, I'm starting a podcast." And they'd be, a lot of them would be like, do I know you? Do you work for Brand Week? Who are you with?" I'm like, "Well, no, but..." So I may have caught you there. That may have been the first time that your name came up. You were at Snap really, again, kind of right at this precipice, right as this thing is really kind of popping off. Spend just a few moments, if you don't mind, kind of talking about your time there, and then let's jump into Bumble for the back end of the show.
Yeah, love it. So yeah, I joined Snap in 2017, so days after the IPO, and I led global marketing there as well, and really built the marketing team from the ground up. Spent a long time, you know, like really defining the role of marketing as well at Snap, because it didn't exist prior, and grew it to what it is today, which you know, they're going to continue to thrive and kick butt. And as a shareholder, I'm continuing to root them on. But they, you know, it was an amazing 4 years that I spent there, and really just, I'm still a user of the app. It's a core part of how I communicate, and really, really love it.
So is that a theme for you? Is it that you end up at these amazing companies as they go public, and then you just build the hell out of them to that point? Is that, you know, I don't want to say, is that a trend? Cause I'm sure you will be at Bumble forever, but it is pretty amazing to be part of that kind of growth, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I have a little hammer on my necklace. I am a builder. I love to build things from the ground up. And I think that, you know, the opportunity to join Bumble now in the stage of growth is a big reason why I came here. But yes, I mean, I loved my time at Snap because of that, because we got to build into new markets. We got to build different facets of marketing, business marketing, consumer marketing, product marketing, and all these things evolved at a very accelerated rate because we were public. And I think that, you know, it's really exciting to keep watching them transform the industry and what they're doing as an outsider now. But yeah, it was a privilege to work there, and it was a really exciting time. And obviously it was the ups and downs of 2017 and 18, and then got to see it really reach the potential that we all knew and believed that it would when I left in 2020. And I didn't plan on leaving my job in a global pandemic, but here we are, and I'm really grateful to be at Bumble.
Shahar has this really cool necklace. It's a hammer. It's literally a small, thin hammer, very subtle, but at the same time has purpose and meaning to it. You know, we owned and still own an advertising agency that started to get this reputation for brands that were getting ready to sell or go public. And so they often had these marketing teams that were smaller and nimble, but as they were getting ready to either sell or go public, they needed to ramp things up substantially faster. And so to be parts of many of those kinds of campaigns, Deep Eddy was one of them. Another one was Pabst out there in Los Angeles, which was super fun. To be parts of some of those, you almost immediately see the impact, which to me was the beauty of a lot of that kind of business. You get to jump in, really roll your sleeves up, really kind of build out these exciting, interesting campaigns, and then you get to see them sell, and then you get to see the owners make all the money and all that, which is fine, but still a lot of fun. So how did you end up at Bumble? How did you have a relationship there? Did you know somebody there, or how did you end up there?
Yeah, so Bumble is a brand that I have long admired, and as someone that's been happily married, I wasn't using the app, but it's something that, it's an app and a brand that I have known about and heard about in culture, and just admired what they do. The CMO is a dear friend of mine and someone that I used to work with, Dominic, and he brought me here, and he created this opportunity for me, brought four different parts of marketing together to create a role that just felt like too good to be true. And taking the leap of faith was an easy decision, because the people that I met in that process, obviously my friendship and relationship with Dom and trusting him as a leader and a brilliant marketer. But really it was also the third part of that, I think it was the mission and just believing in what Bumble is doing. And so for me, choosing a company, I either have to be like a consumer and die hard in that regard, or just really believe in what they're doing. And for me, it checked off all the boxes and then some, and plus being able to be here at this stage of growth pre-IPO and then now post-IPO is truly an honor.
Was there an element of just what Whitney's kind of done and what she's been able to really do in what has been a man's space for a very long time, to be able to say, no, I don't think so, and give, I mean, such empowerment back to women to be able to say, this is how I want to meet, or this is how I want to interact, both professionally or personally or relationship-wise, goes all the way back to your mom to some extent, of this female who just said, this is who I am, And maybe there's an element of some of watching what Whitney's done and kind of saying, this is the mission I'm on and I'm all in. Is there some element of that to this?
Yeah. I mean, I love how you just phrased that.
That's so crazy. I just literally gave myself chills. That doesn't normally happen. If you could see this, I have chills on my arm from just thinking of how proud your mom must be, how proud you must be to be in the middle of this moment of something that maybe feels like it's a company and it's gone public and she's really smart and they're doing great things, but she's, you know, she's transforming something just as Steve did. And at the time, maybe didn't realize everything he was transforming. She's taking something so critically important to all of us, our relationships. And she's saying, this is how women need to be able to feel powerful.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, you're spot on. And, you know, it was amazing to see Whitney on the day of the IPO. She is the youngest female CEO to ever take a company public at 31. And I think she does realize the impact that that will have for all female entrepreneurs and others that will follow in her footsteps. It was a day in history, and now I'm getting chills just thinking about it. You know, something that my daughter now can aspire to do, and it's just the tech industry needs to change, and I think that Bumble is actually at the forefront of that change, and the app itself is really meant to change that paradigm and level the playing field. And our mission around creating healthy and equitable relationships, you know, it is so critical right now, especially after a year of being physically distant. We all deserve and want healthy and equitable relationships in our lives, and just to be able to be here at this company right now, at the time of what we are all going through in as humans is really special.
Ultimately, we all end up better for it when the tent is a wider tent and more voices get heard. We don't end up worse off. We always, it seems to still be in today's world for an element that maybe is scared or nervous that the world is changing for them or passing them by, or it's not the way things used to be. I've always found that when you can communicate and you can educate, it just makes the world better. I'm old enough that my grandmother was unhappy that an African-American was going to come to her house for my sister's birthday party. And I still remember that moment that my dad said, if she's not welcome, then I'm not welcome. And that was, again, a powerful moment for me to see my father, a parent of mine, stand up for something to his own mother and say, this isn't how the world is. And more of that some days seems to be happening. Other days, it seems like we're taking some steps around, but at least it's being talked about. And again, at least it feels like more women feel empowered to say, I'm not going to just keep doing it the same way. I'm going to show up at the woodworking shop and I'm going to say, this is the job that I'm here for to some extent.
Yeah, so, yeah. There's a great quote on one of our billboards, you know, be the CEO that your mom wanted you to marry. Right. It's just like it is empowering. And the whole premise of Bumble around women making the first move, it isn't exclusive to dating, right? It's all facets of our lives. And it is a powerful shift that ignites that confidence that women deserve to have and the control over who they want to spend time with. And so it will lead to healthier relationships and just, I think, a kinder world. One that is rooted in like accountability and also quality.
Listen, we are almost out of time, Shahar. I do want to ask you just one more question, and you may have kind of answered this to some extent, but I do like to ask it. Who is somebody who's really made an impact in your life, and how have they made that impact beyond your mom? Who's somebody else that you feel like has really made an impact in your life, and why?
You know, I actually grew up stuttering, and it's something that I still, you know, think about every single day, and I know which words to avoid and which ones I can say without stuttering. And it's become a core part of who I am. And it's also something that I believe has actually propelled me in my career, because I think through things before I say them, and I'm very thoughtful in how I talk in general. And so for me, you know, the person or group, I should say, that really has impacted me is an organization that I'm on the board of, which is called SAY.org, the Stuttering Association for the Young. And they have had a profound impact on me, on my life. And I am just so grateful for what they do to help other kids who stutter. And I'd say that the founder of that, Taro Alexander, is just someone that I have looked up to and admire, that he's dedicated his whole life as a person who stutters to helping other people who stutter.
I know sometimes when I ask that question, it's hard. It's hard to kind of pick out one thing. But what a great way to kind of end it, to be able to talk about something that impacted your life directly and that you're giving back to. And anytime you can promote that, anytime that you can promote out in the marketplace, be it podcast, be it anything, the fact that no matter who you are or what you have or what you feel like the world has brought you as far as that makes you different, you can overcome almost anything if you put your mind to it. Shahar Scott, Vice President, Global Marketing at Bumble, formerly at Snap, also at Apple. She got to work at all the coolest places, all the coolest jobs. What a great opportunity to have been able to meet you. I hope next time I'm out in Los Angeles, I'll get a chance. I did get to go to the Snap offices in New York. We had a client that ran a campaign out there. Those offices were super cool, and we had to be invited, which was fun. We tried to like just go in one day and like bum rush it, and they're like, no, that ain't gonna happen. But, and it's in this little weird kind of corner of the New York, and you don't know where it is. But then we finally picked up a client, and we got an invite to it. So it's super cool. Is everybody working from home now still for Bumble, or is there some sense that the office place may open back up? What is the historical thought process on that from a Bumble standpoint?
Yeah, it's, you know, something that I think that we're, as a leadership team, evolving as we kind of learn from the team what they need. Obviously, the offices have been closed and everyone is working remotely, or I like to say that we're all living at work. You know, I think our plans are in Q3, Q4 to allow people to come into the office. But to be honest, I think that the way that we are able to be this productive and achieve our OKRs and exceed goals from home has just changed the workplace dynamic forever. I do believe that we will have offices reopen soon. And in fact, our offices and some of our international markets have already reopened. But, you know, I think the workplace has just changed forever. So I think that people will go in when they need to, but they'll continue to work successfully from home.
Shahar Scott, Vice President, Global Marketing at Bumble. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the CMO Suite.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting, but your agency should. Uconnects provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to Uconnects today for a free demo. Uconnects, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.